is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. NVIDIA, the most valuable company on the New York Stock Exchange, on the NASDAQ, anywhere. NVIDIA, $4 trillion plus. What is it? It's one man, Jensen Huang, a migrant from Taiwan who first came to America cleaning toilets and cabins in Kentucky. That's right. This is an extremely hardworking young man who is now the head of a $4 trillion-plus business. But there is the geopolitics of the world. And one of the parts that recently was a wall for NVIDIA to continue to grow was China. I welcome Brandon Weikert. He's of the National Interest, a senior national security correspondent, as well as part of the National Interest Fellowship. However, I call upon him to help us all understand what the blockage was that's now been lifted about a chip that is the highest end that NVIDIA now produces. There are other ones in the pipeline, but this is the highest end, and its magical approach to AI. Brandon, a very good evening to you. We put together chip making with AI. How does it work? Why is NVIDIA so valuable that there was a wall between NVIDIA and China until most recently? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John, and thanks as always for having me. The wall exists because of purely national security purposes, primarily. The Chinese, obviously, are a geostrategic, geoeconomic competitor to the United States, and one of the arenas of competition is in the what our friend Gordon Chang refers to as the Great Tech War between the United States and China, and that's the race for supremacy in a bevy of high-end industries, including artificial intelligence. And as it turns out, to do proper AI research and development, you have to have these high-end chips. NVIDIA is one of the dominant, is the best probably, high-end chip manufacturer in the world. Back in the 2019 era, when Trump was in his first term, he initially began blocking access as part of the tech war with China. He began blocking access for China to gain those systems. The Biden administration carried those policies over. But now we're in a new day where the current Trump administration is looking to do trade deals. And I suspect this is one of the carrots that the Trump administration wants to dangle in front of the Chinese.
The Motherwell, the big chip, the one that everybody wants in the tens of thousands, is forbidden to go to China. However, Jensen Huang, we're told by the Financial Times, attends a dinner at the White House, explains himself that we can sell a chip that is not the highest end, that it was very acceptable to China, and goes forward and designs such a chip. Right now, all we know is that the White House is disposed to permit this. It hasn't happened yet, but permitted. Yes. We're also told, this is anecdotal, that the Chinese customers have been calling up, ordering as many as possible. What is it that they did, Brandon? Something profound? They pulled out a moving part? Or is that all IP stuff that we're not supposed to know about?
Well, basically, yeah, they didn't make it as effective, if that's the right word here, as their largest chip. It's like the next best thing. But ultimately, from the national security side, most of my colleagues are very much against this because, as they point out, whether it's the best chip or the second best chip, the fact remains, given China's ability to play catch up with the United States on high end technology, they're going to be able to leapfrog where they are right now, at least, and catch up within a handful of years or months. So this is the national security side. The economic side, obviously, NVIDIA is an American entity. It benefits this company to do this deal. Furthermore, it gives Trump some negotiating room to get a better trade deal with the Chinese, which ultimately I think is what Trump's ultimate goal is. He wants not just to cut off countries with trade; he wants to get better trade deals.
In addition, we've discussed before, competition is the best environment for innovation and breakthrough. And maintaining the monopoly of the high-end chip helps no one. Bring it on, China.
Well, it does sort of remind me of the scene in the opening of Lawrence of Arabia when he's dangling the lit candle and he says, the trick potter is not minding that it hurts. And so I'm sort of reminded of that. I certainly have very serious reservations on the national security side. But ultimately, you're right. Competition is an esprit de corps among our people, and it might actually force our companies and our innovators to become more creative and frankly better than the Chinese so that we stay ahead of them.
You remind me to say quickly, how did NVIDIA do it? It didn't do it. It built what it always has built.
That's
very
right.
Good at GPUs. That's a particular kind of card that reads graphics. It was a gamer product.
That's
for
right.
For those high-end games that the kids love. Wonderful stuff. Trained them to be digital masters. It's all good right. stuff. But there was a point not too long ago, within 3 years or 2 years, where NVIDIA was regarded as for children, and its stock price had sunken, and it was in debt trouble and couldn't keep going. And then all of a sudden, these guys called AI masters came along and said, gee,
right.
you've got a GPU we can use. It's a miracle. And that was competition that did that.
Yep.
They built the
yep.
better GPU not knowing who was going to buy it.
That's right. That's right. Well, if you build it, they will come. And that's something similar we're seeing also in the nuclear energy field, because obviously AI needs energy output much larger than what we currently have. So it's not just GPUs. It's a multiple other fields we had sort of written off or ignored.
Brennan, you and I both know when I played tennis and you play tennis now, you're only as good as your competition.
Hmm.
And that's what the Chinese competition makes everybody better, including the Chinese, including the Americans. One more detail. This is a Financial Times story, and we have a couple of minutes. Rising graduate joblessness is mainly affecting men. Will that last? What do you understand is happening? Men coming out of college are not getting jobs as easily as young women. Does it make sense?
Well, this is actually not new news. I think it was Sally Pipes over a decade ago was writing about this. There are multiple writers who've been writing about this at places like the Heritage Foundation, talking about the imbalance in joblessness among male graduates versus female graduates. But it looks to me increasingly like this might be, and we talked about this a little bit before, this might be something to do with the post-COVID fallout. And now there's sort of this reorientation of jobs, job seeking going on, women looking at healthcare possibly as an industry more so than men do. And perhaps this will be some way that we kind of right that ship.
Also, AI always crashes in on this. Is it AI that's doing it? The FT does not find evidence of that. Do you hear anecdotally that AI is taking the place of male coders?
I think that that is a significant threat in the long term. I don't think it's happening a lot in the near term. I know that that is where the AI creators want things going. Elon has said this openly. He wants to have AI coding over people. So eventually it'll go there, but I don't see it happening just yet.
Also, we've discovered with previous breakthroughs in business activity, at first there is job loss, but then there are new jobs created that you couldn't imagine because of the opportunity available. I would say the typewriter is one of those. Okay, fine.
Yes.
I have a fine handwriting. What do you need me to type for? Simon, Brennan Weichert of the National Interest. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.